Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
And I pray that what I have today will be a blessing for everyone. And also just maybe a refresher, just to remind us of how awesome our God is and how wonderful Jesus is. So this morning, Steve and a whole lot of guys are up in Mozambique. They're at a place called Punta de Oro. And they're with some guys from this church and with a whole lot of other churches. They've gone up there to meet with African leaders over the weekend and connect and kind of be relevant with African churches in that area. And they'll be coming back, I think, this evening and tomorrow morning. So yeah, we just trust that they'll have an amazing report and that there'll be some wonderful testimonies next Sunday of how God has used them to impact the African churches up in that area of Mozambique. Amen. So this morning I have a gospel message. This month is a month of preaching the gospel and focusing on the gospel. So I have there's nothing better than a true, awesome gospel story to unpack the beautiful gospel that we have, to unpack the good news of Jesus Christ. And the story that I have today is from Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. Could you guys put that up for me, please? Yeah, and it's an amazing story of, I'm sure you guys have all heard of Zacchaeus, hey? The guy that climbed up the the sycamore fig tree. And let's just read this scripture this morning. How are you guys? Are you all good? Are you chilled? Are you open and ready to receive? So let's just go through this. Luke 19, 1 to 10. So it said, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Isn't that amazing? And that last verse, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. That is Jesus' mission statement. He's always seeking and wanting an encounter with us, a close encounter, so that he can get into our lives and be part of our lives and be our Savior, not just once to save us from hell, save us from our sins, but every day Jesus is our Savior. Every day he wants to be in our lives, and he wants to be relevant, and he wants to have an impact, and he wants to be our Savior. And that is his mission statement. Nobody can save like Jesus, because he's the anointed one. He's the only one by whose name we can be saved, by the name of Jesus. So let me not get carried away. So what I want to do is, like a good storyteller, I want to first of all do a bit of a setting for you so you can kind of get into the story, okay? I'm going to look at the setting first and see where this was. It says it was in the city of Jericho. And that region at the time was very prosperous. Everyone knew about Jesus. They had heard that he was going to be passing through the city. It was like a big thing. They were so excited. They had heard about him far and wide. His name had become famous. And they just wanted to get a glimpse of him. It was almost like, you know, everybody lining up the N3 and the Old Main Road for the Comrades Marathon. Everybody's lining up. They just want to get a glimpse, you know, almost like that, but a lot more kind of relevant and impactful, because we find here that in this situation, a guy by the name of Zacchaeus was very, very short, and he couldn't get a glimpse of Jesus. What do we know about Zacchaeus? So it tells us that Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. That means he had other tax collectors beneath him, and he was probably raking in a percentage from each one of them of what they collected. And as a tax collector, we know that he would have been despised, shunned, and rejected by all his fellow Israelites, who considered tax collectors to be traitors, as they collected taxes on behalf of the Roman government and the Roman Empire, who were the occupiers and the oppressors of the Hebrew nation at that time. So he was really despised. Tax collectors were treated in the same way as pagans, as heathens, and lepers, deprived of the lineage of being a true son of Abraham, and treated as complete and total outcast. So this is Zacchaeus. He was treated as a complete and total outcast. Everybody. They probably spat on the ground when he walked past. That's the kind of hatred that was what would have been expressed towards him in his own town. What's the next thing? We know he was extremely wealthy. It says he was wealthy. And presumably much of his wealth had come from extortion and ill-gotten gain, by his own admission. And he said, "Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'll give back four times more." We also know he was very short, and he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. And that we also know he was desperately wanting to see Jesus so much. And this is obvious because he took the effort to run ahead and climb up the sycamore fig tree, which is basically a tree that's like 10 to 15 meters high, and it's got many strong branches. So he positioned himself probably somewhere not too far, but not too close. So and like Zacchaeus, like the rest of this huge throng of people that were there that day, had heard of this amazing man Jesus. They had all heard about the amazing things he was doing, turning the whole world upside down and that whole region. His amazing miracles, his controversial teachings, raising people from the dead, casting out demons, and even the demons were trembling and quaking and shrieking when he even came near. And as he cast them out of those that were oppressed. Who was this carpenter from Nazareth? This is what Zacchaeus' big thing. Who is this carpenter? Can he be relevant in my life? I'm too scared. I don't know what it's going to cost me. It might cost me everything. It might cost me what I don't want to give. I'll just keep at a safe distance here. I'll be able to see him, but he won't even know I'm here. He's just going to pass beneath me here. He desperately wanted to get a good look at this man, Jesus, but from a safe distance. But the crowd wouldn't let him through, so that's why he had to climb up this tree. So now he was close enough to see Jesus clearly, but yet at a sufficient distance to avoid a close encounter. So he thought. okay, I'm not going to have a close. I can see this guy, but he won't be able to see me. Our family believe that it wasn't just curiosity that drove Zacchaeus up that tree. There was much more to it than that. As I said, he had been shunned, despised and treated as an outcast for so long that it just became far too much for him. He just couldn't take, this kind of being ostracized and just being despised any longer. And I believe there was a deep heart cry within Zacchaeus for affirmation, a heart cry for approval. He was desperate to just be loved and to belong, to be a part of, and to believe that he was relevant and that he was needed. He had accumulated all this wealth and, at a personal cost, at a huge personal cost, believing that it was going to buy him all the things that really mattered in life. But money and all that it could buy seriously failed him. It seriously failed to fulfill this deep hole that was in his heart that day, a huge hole in his heart that money could never, ever fill. Only thing that could ever fill that hole was Jesus. And so, when we look to Jesus and we cry out to Jesus from the depths of our heart, he hears our deepest heart cry. He intimately knows all our personal needs. Our deepest needs and desires are personally known by our Savior. Right now, he knows every heart cry. He knows your deepest need, the thing that is really on your mind and on your heart right now, that is really maybe concerning you and preoccupying you. Jesus is fully aware of everything that's happening in your life. And I believe that without even saying a word, Jesus fulfilled every one of those needs. I believe that Jesus knew Zacchaeus long before that moment. I believe that he heard his heart cry long before that moment. And I believe there was a divine appointment that day that God wanted Jesus to encounter Zacchaeus and change his life forever. Because if you listen to the words that Jesus says, he looks up and he said to him, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay. That's an imperative command at your house today." And I think there are a number of us here this morning who are at a safe distance. But I believe that there is a divine appointment for you this morning. And that Jesus wants to bring you to a place of, from a safe distance to a close personal encounter. And there are a number of things to just note here at this point when Jesus says, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house." The first one is that, as I mentioned, that this is an imperative command, implying that this is a divinely appointed encounter. And it wasn't just soma. Okay, I'm just here, I saw my, no. It was divinely, Jesus knew that this guy would be up the tree. Jesus knew his name. Jesus knew that he was going to be radically saved. And he knew that he was going to meet this man, Zacchaeus, up a tree in Jericho. And so the second thing we see is Jesus draws Zacchaeus from a safe distance to a close encounter. We see the response, Zacchaeus' response. It says he came down at once. He came down at once, and he welcomed Jesus gladly. It was just amazing. It was so amazing. It was like he just needed this so badly. He just, it was everything that he ever wished for. And that his response was instantaneous. It was immediate. And he was drawn from that being at a safe distance to a close encounter with Jesus. And that's Jesus. He's always drawing us to himself. He's always desiring to I'm sorry. I love Jesus. He's just so good to me. And so when I'm telling this story, it has a personal impact. Every word that I'm speaking to you about your life has a personal impact and relevance to my life as well. And so that's Jesus. He's always desiring to just be with us. He's always looking for that close one-on-one encounter with us because he loves us so much. Because he so desperately wants to spend quality time, quiet time, personal time with each one of us. And that's him. He's always drawing us to this close encounter. But a lot of the time, we're running off and wanting to do our own thing, too busy. Our mission statement, our hit list, our 10-to list for the day, and we're off. But Jesus is always wanting to bring us back to that place. And we see the result of this encounter is truly amazing. And while reclining at table, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything," joke, that's a big joke. He probably cheated everybody out of everything. "I will pay back four times the amount." Wow, that's a huge change from a money-grabbing, money-mongering tax collector. It's an instant change, okay? And so God has come into his life through the power of the Holy Spirit and turned his life around completely. It just changed him immediately. And our question is, what was it that changed this guy so rapidly and so radically? Here he is from being a money monger, grabbing everything, to acknowledging that he's cheated people and magnanimously saying, "Hey, I'll give four times whatever I cheated." Okay, what is it? That is a complete change of heart. That is a new heart. And you know, all Jesus said to him was, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house." That's all Jesus said. Jesus never preached a long sermon to him. He never went into about the whole gospel story and a huge parable and unpacked a parable. It was just one sentence that actually changed his life, and the person of grace came in and just poured his grace out on this person. The grace of God. And grace is something that will always cost us. But people only get grace if we give grace. It costs Jesus his life for us to be blessed with his grace. When we are gracious to people, it will cost us. But here, the grace of God comes in. One sentence. And I believe that the reason for this radical transformation was because Jesus, in just one brief encounter, met every one of Zacchaeus' deepest needs. He stilled every heart cry and replaced it with his peace. Jesus gave him affirmation and approval. He spoke sonship over him, a child of God in the household of God, a place where he's loved, where he truly belongs, and all the things that he desperately needed, his entire life had been fulfilled. And Jesus replied to Zacchaeus, and he said, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. And, you know, a servant has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to the family forever. A son belongs forever. And we are adopted as God's son. And we are not sons by performance. Because we've done and ticked off the list, we are sons. No, we are sons by lineage. Because we were adopted as sons and daughters through Christ. Jesus chose to see him as a son of Abraham. He chose to see him the way that God sees him. He refused to see him according to others' opinions and what others were saying about him. Where others had constantly dishonored him, Jesus broke through all that and honored him and affirmed him before one and all by giving him and no one else the absolute honor and privilege of hosting him, much to the crowd's disdain. You see, when we were still enemies and far from God, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us on a cross. Yes, it wasn't so much his death or even the way that Jesus died, gruesome and bloody and painful as it was. It was so appalling, so arresting, so amazing that he would die for us. But rather, it's about who died and the reason why he died so painfully and so shamefully that separates this death and this sacrifice of Jesus from all others. It's the fact that this is the Son of God who died, not just anyone. This is the one who came from laid his majesty aside and came. He didn't have to, but he chose to. He didn't do it for himself, but he did it for us personally, for each one of us. It was that God was in Christ himself, reconciling the world to himself. It was that he took all our punishment and all our sickness and every sin and curse on himself. It was that we've been judged on the cross and acquitted because Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself. And by his blood, we have been declared to be in the right. We have been justified. That God is no longer angry with us because Jesus paid the price. That through the cross, God has demonstrated his immense love for us. That he confirmed once and for all the high value that he's placed on each of our lives. That he was prepared to sacrifice his one and only son to save us. It speaks volumes of how highly God values us, how highly he esteems us, how precious we are to him. And we hear God saying through the cross of Christ, my child, I love you, I value you, I approve of you, my favor rests upon you. I'm so glad that I created you. I love you just the way that you are. And I say that it's good that you are alive. You don't need to prove your reason for existence any longer. You've been justified. In fact, you don't have to prove anything to anyone. Where others would trample us down and want to keep us there, God lifts us up. Where others would write us off for our faults and failings, God never does. God is never ashamed of us. He always takes our mistakes and our failings and turns them to our good. How great a love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. 1 John 3, verse 1. Through the cross, God has demonstrated the power of his love for us. Jesus has paid the price. God is not angry with us in any way anymore, friends. God is not angry with us anymore. He loves us passionately, and his favor rests upon us and remains upon us. It rests upon us and remains. And at times you might feel that God's favor is not with us. We might feel that God is not with us. But feelings have got nothing to do with the facts. His favor and his love remain upon us. I love my children. not because of what they do or don't do, but because of who they are. I'm proud of them when they do amazing stuff. It's great, and I applaud them. But I love them the moment I clapped eyes on them, the moment they were born. Let's be honest, as parents, you know, when that child is born, they don't have to prove anything to you. They don't have to go and out do a whole load of stuff and tick off a hit list for you before you say, okay, I love you. You love them the moment you set eyes on them. And it's got nothing to do with performance. It's got to do with fatherhood, motherhood. It's got to do with the love of God. And this is the way God sees us. It's not about what we do or what we don't do. It's about the fact that He loves us because we're His kids. He loved us when He created us before His blueprint of who we would be, before the world began. Okay, He created us even in His dreams. Okay, and God loved us before we were even born. He loved us because He created each one of us uniquely. And as we sit here, we are God's dream come true. I'm digressing a bit. But you are God's dream come true. And there's nothing that will get God to stop loving you. There's nothing that will take God's love away or cause God to shun you and to be angry with you. He loves us, warts and all. And nothing will ever change that. He loves us with an everlasting love. God doesn't keep things from us. He keeps them for us. And then He surprises us later by giving them to us at just the right time. And we think God is keeping stuff from us. And God has amazing plans for us. His heart is always to bless us. And our destiny is not defined by our momentary difficulties and adverse circumstances. There are many of us right now that are going through adverse circumstances and serious difficulties. But our destiny is defined by a loving, kind, all-powerful Father who has spoken His eternal destiny over each one of us. And this is the same God that wants to always have this personal, intimate relationship with us. And this is the saving grace of Jesus. Just coming back to the story where His mission statement is to seek and save the lost. And that is all Jesus ever wants to do. Salvation equals encountering the person of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Because nothing and no one but Jesus has the power to save. In one brief encounter, Jesus can also meet your deepest need. In one brief encounter, He can still every heart cry and fill that gaping hole right now. And so from the moment that Zacchaeus encountered Jesus, his life was never ever the same again. Yes, sure, it cost him, and there was a lot that he had to give. But then there was a whack of stuff that he received that money could never, ever give him. There are many who would rather live their lives from a safe distance. So many deep, unmet desires and needs, desperately crying out, but yet afraid to encounter Jesus. Maybe it's because they know that their lives will be laid bare before the gaze of the one who sees all. But then he sees all anyway. Yet when we look at Zacchaeus and his amazing encounter with Jesus, we know that there was more than a fair exchange that was made that day. And if we could, I'm sure if we were able to have a chat with Zacchaeus right now, and I believe that this is what he would say. Remember that day? Are you kidding? How could I ever forget? It was the most exciting, liberating day of my life. I've never, ever looked back. And so, worship team, can you come up? Maybe Dave and Johnny. Yeah, I felt that today there were, particularly those who don't know Jesus at all, but also those who do know Jesus, that you're holding back. You're at a safe distance. And Jesus wants to draw you today into a close one-on-one encounter. Because he is the one who seeks and saves. He's the one that can fulfill every need. And he desperately loves to do that. That's what he loves more than anything, is being our Savior. Being our Savior every day, to come in and to pay the price to save us. So if you guys would stand, I just want to address those who don't know Jesus today, who've come here to visit us, but maybe you've never ever encountered this amazing person by the name of Jesus. You've heard so much about him. You know, the whole world speaks about Jesus. Even in this day and age, there's so much controversy about Jesus. He's so controversial in every way. There's nothing ordinary about this man, God. Yes, he's God. He's fully God, but yes, he's also fully a man. And right now, he's seated at the right hand of God, and he calls himself the Son of Man. He's there as our advocate. He's there as our chief priest, our king, our Lord, and our Savior. And I want to say to you today, if that's you at a safe distance, this is a good day. I feel that there is a divine appointment for some people here today that don't know Jesus. And if that's you, maybe I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to do what Jesus asked Zacchaeus to do. He said, come down immediately. I must stay with you today. And I'm going to ask you to just come to the side of the church. Don't be afraid. The exchange will be more than beneficial for you, I promise you now. So don't hesitate. Just come down here. Respond the way that Zacchaeus did. And come and encounter the living one today, who will change your life for the better, who will come in and fulfill that gap that nothing else can fill. And then for those who do know Jesus, maybe circumstances have driven you away a bit. Maybe you become angry because you're saying, where's my God? What is God doing about my situation? Maybe you've withdrawn and you are keeping a safe distance. But I want to encourage you today, receive Jesus the way that Zacchaeus did. Come and receive Jesus. He's there. He knows every difficulty and he wants to bring you through every difficulty. I feel today that if you come and just say, Jesus, here I am. I receive you afresh. And let him minister to you and come and stay in your home afresh today. And allow him to come in and be God. There'll be people up here to pray for you. So if that's you, if you know Jesus already and you want just a fresh encounter with Jesus, why don't you come to this side of the church and we'll be praying for you. In the meantime, bless you all and let's worship the living one.